We are so grateful to God for all that He does and are always dissatisfied with what the enemy does. If we can distinguish between the two, we are already helped. I am very sad today because I was involved in a family matter on the journey home from Switzerland, and somehow I feel very sad about it. Only one word came to me when Brother Rus made the remark that he would bring us a word. The word came to me that Jethro told his son-in-law Moses, "Choose people such as fear God, men of truth." And it really seems that the proclamation must remain unburdened by anything that may still be here or there among the people. I am so saddened, especially when you can't help, when people don't really accept God's help either. And we wish everyone had peace with God, then it would be best. As I said, I will perhaps just emphasize a few thoughts from these words and then just sit down. Brother Rus, as we promised, will be preaching this weekend. I have said that we will not have large meetings. And I also have the right to listen. Whenever others preach, I am tremendously blessed. And if I have to preach myself, then that is not good. Then others are blessed. Yes, then others are blessed. Well, that's the way it is. They are all familiar words that we read and hear. The only question is always, to what extent they have already been able to be revealed in our lives? To what extent God has been able to realize what is written in us? And you know that our desire is growing ever greater, a desire that the gap between promise and fulfillment, between faith and reality is becoming ever smaller, and God can come into His own. Everything we read here is true. It just needs to be revealed, and in a positive way. Here we have read along, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit will be cut off and thrown away." A very serious word. Being in him, bearing no fruit and withering away. It is not worthwhile of being in him if you bear no fruit for him. And then the promise, "Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." This is our desire, that God could purge, that he could prune, that he could help, so that fruit might come forth. And then the statement, "Without me, you can do nothing." I don't think there is a child of God who has not yet made this realization. Without me, you can do nothing. But that means that with him, we can do all things, as Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Then it goes on to say, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast away." There are comparisons in the Holy Scripture, perhaps fitting in the context of 2 Timothy 4, where people have turned away from the truth, not abiding in the Word, not abiding in Christ. Only the one who was once in it can turn away. Only those who once had the truth can lose it. And so we see here how the Lord tells us, he who does not abide in me will be cast away. And we have also read this, if my words abide in you, and you abide in me. All serious words. And if the Lord succeeds in bringing us to the point where we not only hear it, but allow God to come to work in us, then others will see it, that we don't just have words, but that God can be with us. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If we take this word here, then we must go to the Epistle of John and read, for there it is written, that if God hears us, then we have brought before him requests that we have previously received from him. Not praying as we wished, not presenting our own desires, but led by God, we brought before him prayers that were in his will. And whatever is in his will, he hears and gives. Then it says in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. What would we rather have than that the Lord could go forward with us? I almost wanted to say, be satisfied by being pleased with us. We have heard the short sermon here from Arthur Davis, Walking with God, Pleasing God. It was with Enoch, it was with Noah, with Abraham, with the prophets. And I believe that we too must get there, will get there. If we want to be in the rapture, then God's well-pleasing must rest on us. Then all uncertainty and doubt must be gone from us. We must be at rest in God. Not that we have calmed our conscience, but that we have truly come to rest in God from our own works, in order to rest in God. Here it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. How often have we heard about the love of God? You could almost say, why don't we stop talking about it and let's live out this text together so that God can pour out his blessings on us in abundance. But preaching must continue until God's word has accomplished what it was sent to do. Preaching will never be in vain. My brother Arthur said to me earlier, he said, if I could believe as well as you can preach, then we would all be better off. And that's the way it is. We all struggle with faith, and we have said time and again that we can believe God. Whoever does not believe Him makes him a liar. So we believe God. We believe God's word. We still believe God's word, even when we don't quite manage to fulfill it. We still believe it to be true and have the desire within us to do better next time with God's help. Yes, that's how it is. Verse 10 says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Here again we have the comparison with God and Christ. And that is always the stumbling block for all those who cannot quite believe. When I heard the news yesterday that the Pope had written 150 pages about the Holy Spirit, and first he wrote about God the Father, and then about God the Son, and now about God the Holy Spirit, and his role in politics and so forth, it made me feel quite different. How grateful we can be that God has revealed himself to us, that we can simply see that God has made a completely new beginning, and Christ was this beginning of God's creation, a manifestation of God as Son in the flesh, to make us who are in the flesh sons and daughters of God. But we don't want to go into that any further now. But it is simply important. It is even what eternal life consists of. And only those who have truly received eternal life recognize this. Everyone else couldn't care less. I read it to you so that you may know and remember it. From the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." This is eternal life. Whoever does not recognize the meaning and purpose of the revelation of God in Christ, where is eternal life? If divine life is in us, then we recognize God, for the Spirit of God is in us and searches all things, even the deep things of God. In chapter 15, verse 15, there is the well-known word, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." Friends of God, like Abraham, who was visited by the Lord before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and was told, "Shall I hide from you what I am about to do?" The same Lord has spoken to the seed of Abraham in our day. He has not left us in the dark, but has revealed his word and his will. No longer servants, no longer strangers, but citizens of God and members of his household, friends of God. And the reason is because I have made all things known to you. Not just something, everything, the whole counsel of God. And I realized it again. When you talk to people who are in a different boat, and they can talk for 2 hours, and in the end they have said nothing that could be of any significance. Only those to whom God's word has been revealed for this time, in this age, can speak from God. As it is written, he who is sent by God speaks the words of God. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, because I have made all things known to you. Somewhere I said it. Now the dynamics must be added to this mechanics. God must vindicate his word. The power of God must come into this mechanism of God, so that the body of the Lord is functional and ready for action in all tasks and areas. And then the marvelous statement, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. May God be able to make it true, that the world would recognize that we are children of God. We saw it here at the last wedding, and I hope that we continue to hear good reports. We have also shown the love of God in this. Regardless of the person, we leave every judgment to God Himself. Let me tell you, as humans, we can quickly misjudge things. Very quickly. God looks at the heart. He sees into what is hidden. We judge by the outward appearance, but he sees what is on the inside. Now very briefly, from verse 18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. We have nothing good to expect on earth. Don't think that people will pat us on the back and say, it's all good. We will be hated by everyone for his name's sake. And you realize it especially when you talk to the pious, and it's about the name of the Lord. Everything is fine beforehand, but then suddenly hatred breaks through, and you realize that the love cannot be genuine. For where there is genuine divine love, there certainly cannot be hatred next door, but either the heart has been renewed or it has remained old, and we have only dampened it a little, so that things do not break out like this. Here it continues, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. That is a very powerful word. Both is written. What happened to him will happen to us. Just as we have received his word, we should receive and obey the word of those who speak in his name, because people have recognized it. As Paul writes, ye have received the word which I preached, not as the word of men, but as the word of God, which indeed it is. And when God's word is received in this way, it accomplishes what it was sent to do. I wish I could find this scripture, but you know it. Oh yes, here it is. 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The same word, the same spirit, everything remains as it was. That is why we can count on the same blessings, the same confirmations. And Paul says very clearly here, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. I hope that to this day and until the end, we have not preached or will preach anything other than God's holy word. When we talk to people who refer to Brother Branham, but preach and teach and practice many things that neither Paul nor Brother Branham taught, then we can indeed say with all authority, friends, not like this. For it does not agree with what men of God have said on God's behalf. We are therefore grateful for the opportunity to compare. As we have said often enough, God is bound by His word. We must have a way to check things. And this is not arbitrary. The standard is God's word. And everything stands and falls by this word. Either the word confirms a thing, or it remains dark, you know, with a Urim and Thummim. If a matter was not from God, then no matter how enthusiastically it was explained, the 12 stones remained as they were. Light did not come forth. But then, if the matter was right, the light came forth. And that's why it is written about lights and perfections in the Old Testament. The light was always the supernatural confirmation that what was presented was right before God. It is the same today. The light is not somewhere, but thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Peter writes, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn. But I wanted to read one more word from Peter before I sit down now, and that is from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. What a marvelous thing! The gospel is the word of God. The word of God is the gospel. And what we preach must be God's word. And if it is God's word, then we have to preach the same thing that is written here. When I read here, all flesh is as grass. I held the hand of a woman in my hand yesterday. She was over 90. And then you look at the human child and think about what she might have looked like when she was getting older, perhaps at the age of 10, 20, and so on. The human being fades away. In earthly terms, we come and go. We blossom like a flower. Today, we may think back to looking at our parents and grandparents and thinking, well, they've grown old. Today, people look at us and say the same thing. Man, you have gotten old. This is the way of life. But thanks be to God. The flower falleth away, the grass withereth. And what happens next spring? Everything that had life comes forth anew. Every spring there is a new creation. New life comes forth. What was dead before, no leaves, no fruit on the trees, bare, blown to and fro by the wind. Suddenly, in spring, everything is completely different again. As we have often said at funerals, by the way, it's already time. I had promised to hold a funeral recently on a Monday at 2 p.m. and remembered it on Tuesday at 3 p.m. So far, it has already come. But we've said it often enough. Man blossoms, he passes away. But God gives us a new sermon every year about life, death, and resurrection. Things don't end with the grave. For this we are grateful to God from the bottom of our hearts. And here, for this word from Peter, which agrees so beautifully with what Paul said. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And then I can assure you, if this divine seed has been planted in our hearts through the preaching of the everlasting gospel, then you can bury me with confidence. I will rise again because of the divine seed, which cannot be choked and which cannot be buried. You know what I mean. The man will be buried, but the divine seed, wherever it may be, it will come forth. And for that, we are grateful to God, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And we, together with the word of God, abide forever, because we have been born again of the same seed, of the divine seed of the word, unto a living hope. We will not receive eternal life first. We have received eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. For thus it is written, whoever has the Son of God has eternal life. John 1 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. It will be said to the end, the word that was preached to you as the message of salvation, as the gospel, will be the word of our God to the end. It will endure forever. And we together with this word, may God bless us all. Amen. Here you go, Brother Rus. Well, what shall we say? We have heard the sermon, and I believe that we have all followed what was said, and believe with all our hearts, because we know that we have no other choice but to believe. We are destined for this, brothers and sisters, that we should believe. And we have heard about election. Our Lord said it so wonderfully. We did not choose him, he chose us. And the same is still true in our day. He has chosen us. If it were not so, my dear brothers and sisters, we would not be here. And the other was also so marvelous, as has been said here in the word, that he no longer calls them servants, but friends. Why? Because he can entrust nothing to his servant, but to his friends he entrusted everything in those days and also in our days. If we are his friends, he has entrusted much to us. And we may indeed say, without being puffed up, we may indeed say, he has entrusted to us the secret things and has let us know them and has revealed the word of truth about all that others do not understand. As my brother said, if it is not revealed by God, it cannot be understood. The Lord spoke much at that time. And who understood him? Only those to whom the understanding of his word was opened. The others all went on like that and could do nothing with it. And maybe even until this day, even if they hear or read it, but when God does not open their understanding, it remains hidden and nothing can be done. It became so great to me. I just thought how grateful we can be that he has made his secrets known to us. And as my brother said, we can't help but bring only what has been given to us by God, by his grace. And that even a Paul could not bring anything other than what was given to him by God. nor could Peter bring anything else. No, it was impossible. They could only bring what they had been given. And it is the same with us, brothers and sisters. We cannot bring anything else, only what has been given to us. That is so marvelous. And then anything can come. I was struck by the words that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in chapter 2. Brother Frank read a little further, but I have already read verse 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God, to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Isn't that marvelous? Yes, no longer he himself, but as God willed, it had to be done. Isn't that marvelous? Oh yes, he expressed it here, not as people wanted to hear, having itching ears, but he had to say what God had told him to say. Yes, oh how precious are these words. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God. And the same must we also say. We cannot speak to please men, but to please God. The word for this hour must be brought, whether people accept it or not. Those who cannot accept it, well, it's up to them. But there are people who will accept it. And then, beloved, it is meant for them. And then it says, who tries our hearts. Yes, he also tries our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Oh, I think those are very profound words. Maybe, if you want to put it that way, very harsh words. Because they didn't use flattering words, but they put the absolute truth upon the lampstand. We could say, Paul, he had been a scholar, and he was highly educated. But what did he say? He had to discard everything. He regarded everything as dung after the grace of God had appeared to him. And we may say the same. And here he says so gloriously, he did not use flattering words, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is our witness. Nor of men sought we glory, men of God. Throughout the Bible, they did not seek glory from men, but they had to speak on behalf of God. In the last few days, I have read a little in the prophet Jeremiah, probably in chapter 8, how this man had to come before the people and bring them the words of God, and how the people rebelled against it. But he couldn't help it. He was destined by God, beloved. He had to say what God had told him to say. What people did not bother him. He did not dwell on it. He had to go on speaking. He was commissioned by God. He was God's chosen one. The chosen of God cannot do otherwise. They must speak the words of God. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us.
eigenen Seelen darzubringen, denn ihr waret uns lieb geworden. Ja.
Yes. Aren't those marvelous words? Brothers and sisters, God's love surpasses everything. We see it here in all these words. Paul, these men of God, they acted in love because the love of God ruled their hearts. May God give grace also to us in these days. May He continue to help us. It is something wonderful that we may come from near and far. And it is the love of God that binds us together. And we could come again and again, for sure. Even you who come from further afield, it's not that easy. We all know it involves high costs. But what is it? We see it and we believe it, that the love of God rules your hearts, that you long for the infallible Word of God. For what good would it do us if we brought something else? We can only bring the Word of God, which is valid for all eternity, until the end. And for that we are so glad and so grateful. May God have blessed these short words this evening. Sermons don't always have to be who knows how long. The main thing is that we absorb every word we read like a nugget of gold, because it is such a treasure. We say it again and again, like a nugget of gold. It's more than gold, beloved. The earthly gold will also be left behind, but the spiritual will remain. It will be for eternity. And that is why we are so grateful to the Lord for each other. May God bless us all, is my prayer. Amen.